This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, September 7th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. China's cyberspace regulator has taken an unprecedented step to rein in the power of algorithms, the automated systems that shape the internet. Beijing has made public summaries of core algorithms belonging to some of the country's leading internet companies. So, could this change what it's like to be online in China? And what might other countries learn from this move? On today's show, our China Tech reporter Karen Howe joins us to discuss regulating algorithms. That's after these headlines. Instagram parent Meta has been fined the equivalent of more than $400 million in the European Union for allegedly mishandling children's data. Monday's fine is the second largest yet under the bloc's GDPR privacy law. Until late 2019, Instagram allowed people under the age of 18 to sign up for business accounts. By default, those accounts exposed the business user's information to the broader internet. That and other default settings raised concerns with regulators. The new fine only accounts for 1% of Meta's profit last year. But our European tech reporter Sam Schechner says it could signal a ramping up in the bloc's enforcement of its privacy law.
There's a pipeline of other cases that could do things like upend the legal justification that Facebook has for collecting your data at all. It could interfere with the plumbing of online advertising in the internet, saying that simply parts of that advertising economy are illegal under privacy laws. So what we're seeing is that these regulators are issuing bigger fines and making bigger demands for changes of behavior. And that's something that this case shows is likely to continue.
Meta said the decision related to old settings that were updated more than a year ago, and that it plans to appeal the calculation of the fine. Apple is expected to unveil its most expensive iPhones yet at a launch event later today. The iPhone 14 lineup comes out amid a global slowdown in tech sales for all but the priciest of gadgets. Apple's current iPhone Pro models and spending on additional memory storage have helped spur record sales and profit for the company. Investors worry that rising inflation and economic concerns could lead to a pullback. But Apple is betting on a new round of customers looking to upgrade to 5G models. We'll have a roundup of the event on tomorrow's show. And as more tech startups lay off employees, those workers could be leaving millions of dollars on the table. A lot of startups offer stock options as a way to lure top talent, but actually exercising those options to buy the stock can be pretty expensive at high-valued companies. The typical startup employee needs about $140,000 to buy their vested stock options, according to EquityBee, which helps workers to fund the purchase of their options. And our reporter Angus Lowton says that's more than what many startup workers can swing.
Mostly what happens is if you're holding these options and you can't afford to exercise them, you wait until the startup is about to have an exit, say go public in a initial public offering or get acquired by some big company. That way you can exercise your options. You almost get immediate payoff and it's not nearly as risky. If you're laid off, of course, you no longer have that option. So the latest estimate figures that about 75% of startup workers have not exercised their equity options.
All right, coming up, China takes a stab at cleaning up the negative effects of online platforms. But modern algorithms won't be easy to control. We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Earlier this year, China's cyberspace regulator set out rules compelling companies to share information about their algorithms, the systems that power all the big online platforms. The goal of gathering this information is to stop the negative effects of algorithms, from spreading misinformation and infringing on privacy to online harassment. But experts warn that trying to directly regulate algorithms could be tricky, since many of them adapt in unpredictable ways based on user behavior. Joining us to discuss how China is taking on this challenge and what other countries might take away from their efforts is our China Tech reporter, Karen Hao. Hi, Karen. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Zoe. Thanks so much for having me.
So a Chinese regulation went into effect in March in an effort to tighten controls of algorithms underpinning the internet. Then what happened?
The latest move is they announced that they successfully got submissions, detailed documentation from some of the most influential internet companies in the country. So that's companies like Baidu, Alibaba, Tencent, which makes the sort of all-encompassing WeChat app. And there are about 30 algorithms from 24 companies that are supposed to be sort of the core of the recommendation systems of these platforms that have now been filed to the top internet regulator to describe exactly what they're doing.
So what exactly has been made public and what are regulators getting from this?
Yeah, so this is sort of like the first step to this broader regulatory campaign that China's trying to pursue, where they sort of almost very logically, like if they want to gain control over algorithms, they first want to gain visibility. So they're trying to get as much information from companies to just wrap their heads around what exactly these systems even do. But thus far, companies haven't actually submitted code. They haven't actually submitted like highly technical information. It's actually more of a layperson's summary of the operations of these algorithms. So what are the inputs? What is the type of user data that these companies are collecting? Ultimately, what is it trying to do? Is it meant to personalize like a social media app, or is it meant to rank search information in a search engine? So it's actually relatively high level information, but there's sort of a lot of vagueness and uncertainty right now around how much more information the government is going to start asking these companies eventually.
What do we know about Beijing's kind of thinking behind this and why it's specifically gone after algorithms?
So people familiar with the government's thinking actually told us that Beijing in general hadn't really been attuned to this issue. So in the US and EU, there's been like pretty long-standing debates about the idea of how are we supposed to regulate tech platforms? How are we supposed to keep the internet safe? And algorithms have been a really big part of this debate and this discussion. But for Beijing, apparently the focus on algorithms didn't really kick off until TikTok was almost sold to an American buyer. So TikTok is obviously the wildly popular social media app, but it's owned by a Chinese company called ByteDance. And when it was going up for sale, it was right around the time when Chinese regulators also passed an export control ban on information recommendation technology. And so it suddenly became unclear whether TikTok would be sold with its algorithm. And that suddenly made bidders not as interested in buying TikTok. And this basically tipped off Beijing to thinking, oh, wow, algorithms seem to be really important. We should be looking into this more. And from there, they sort of realized how it could also be extremely influential for public opinion, for social mobilization. And that was what kicked off the set of regulatory actions to really get a handle on these systems.
You mentioned some other countries that have kind of thought about this in the past. Have any other nations taken these kinds of regulatory steps to rein in algorithms?
So in the US, the short answer is no. And in the EU, what's interesting is there's been a pair of acts that just recently passed in July. the Digital Services Act and the Digital Markets Act that try to tackle the same question, but actually go about it in a more roundabout way. So with the Digital Services Act, what the EU tried to do was say, okay, we're not going to regulate algorithms directly. We're just going to tell tech platforms that they need to do assessments of their entire products to understand what the risks are. And then they have to decide how to mitigate those risks. And that could involve tweaking the algorithm. So it's a much more indirect approach, but the European Union also thinks it's a more rights-preserving approach. It's a more democratic approach. But critics also say that it sort of sidesteps some of the issues and doesn't have as much teeth as China's approach to actually trying to literally get at the algorithms themselves.
I mean, is it even possible to regulate these algorithms? You know, so many of them are not concrete. They change, they learn from users' habits. So how do you actually rein them in as a regulator?
This is like the biggest question that I think China sort of opened up. No one's really tried this before, and so no one really knows if it's going to work. But from like the basic principles of this technology, it would be incredibly hard, if not maybe impossible. So internet algorithms today are mostly based on machine learning. And machine learning is when you have algorithms that aren't actually written out explicitly as a set of rules, but they're actually just learning from user data, user behavior to figure out the rules themselves. But most machine learning systems are black boxes. Like the people who coded them, the people who developed them can't actually print out exactly what rules these algorithms learned from the data. So from that perspective, just like seeing the code on these algorithms doesn't actually get you very far in understanding their logic. And what complicates it further is social media platforms like Facebook or TikTok, they don't actually just use one algorithm. They use hundreds or thousands of these interlocking algorithms. And they, as you said, are constantly being updated based on a very complex stream of user-generated content, user behavior. So trying to fully understand every dimension of what's going on is pretty much impossible. And therefore, controlling it is very, very improbable.
Okay, so what does this mean for Chinese internet users, you know, post this regulation coming into play?
You know, what's interesting is in the Chinese context, it might not actually mean much different than what we've already seen happening when Xi Jinping came into power. There's been like a slow tightening and narrowing of what discourse is actually allowed in the public sphere and on these internet platforms. And from that perspective, like even if China ultimately can't figure out exactly how to get these platforms or this discourse to do exactly what it wants to, companies will ultimately still take it as a signal that they need to continue this trend of tightening down, narrowing down the discourse. So in that sense, maybe it doesn't necessarily matter in the Chinese context. What I think is particularly interesting about this effort is more of what the rest of the world might be able to learn from its successes and failures, because it is the only attempt globally to address this issue so directly through the algorithmic level.
All right, that's our reporter, Karen Howe. Karen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you're enjoying listening to our show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.